It's so weird to have Brandon's disembodied voice as he's in with us. I'm Pastor Corey. I'm still Pastor Corey, one of the pastors on staff here at Legacy United Methodist Church. I want to welcome you again for joining us for worship, whether you're here in person or joining us on a screen. Thank you for being here. We are starting a new series, the Summer Reading Series, and it is going to be covering some of the minor prophets. Now, some of you who are baseball fans think, oh, the minor prophets, they're the prophets that went out for the big leagues and didn't make it, and so they got sent to AAA ball. That is not how the minor prophets work. Literally, the minor prophets are called, the 12 books that are the minor prophets are literally called the minor prophets because they're short. Not short in stature, but the books are short. The major prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, so on and so forth, are longer reads. But these, the minor prophets, are sometimes one chapter, as much as five chapters. They're just really short. And so they're great for summer reading because we encourage you to read these in between Sundays. And you can do it in one, maybe two sittings, or you can stretch it out if you want, if you do just a few verses at a time. So the minor prophets are great because they actually write in the form of poetry. So that hopefully it doesn't scare you, but if you do read we're going to be in Zephaniah, and if you read Zephaniah, you could tell someone that this week you read poetry, right? That's a big brag for some of you. So Zephaniah and the other minor prophets are written in the form of poetry because prophets, the definition of a prophet is a truth teller, is a truth teller. And sometimes the truth is hard to hear, right? The truth is hard to hear. But in the form of poetry, using imagery, using word pictures, you can tell someone that there's something they need to hear that's hard to hear in the form of poetry, and they'll receive it better. Rhetorical questions are used to get you to think about things that you don't want to think about, and we'll get into that in a minute. We will be in the book of Zephaniah. Now, our Bibles are split into two main sections, New Testament and Old Testament. Think of the New Testament as Jesus and forward. Think of the Old Testament as before Jesus, okay? So if you open up your Bibles to the right where the New Testament starts, the minor prophets are just back. You turn back a few pages, that's where they're at. And Zephaniah is back in there too. And that's who we'll be talking about. Zephaniah, for those of you who care about history, for those who don't, I'll try to make this interesting for you. Zephaniah is in the place of Israel's history where it is just the kingdom of Judah that is around. All the other area, territory of Israel had been defeated, and it was just Judah and the city of, the main focus is the city of Jerusalem, and of course, the temple. This is around the years between 590, 580 BC or BCE, depending on how you think of history. And it is during the reign of King Josiah, okay? During this time, Israel is under Assyrian occupation. Seems like every time we talk about Israel, they're under some sort of occupation. And this time is no different. They're under Assyrian occupation, and Assyrian rule, the Assyrian empire, is fading. They're no longer as strong as they used to be. So whenever a country that is under the oppressive thumb of a larger entity, a larger government, starts to feel the pressure coming off, what do? They act up like children. You know, you let up on children sometimes, they act up. Well, that's what Israel does. It starts to act up. And so the kings before Josiah had not been practicing. They had worshipped all kinds of God, not just Yahweh, but all kinds of other gods. And now Josiah is starting to bring the people back because of Zephaniah's message. You with me so far? All right. Zephaniah has a message for the people. And that message is that you have been living your lives comfortably. You have been living your lives very much. You go to church, you go to work. You work on the house, you do all those things, but you do not include God in everything. You go to church, but you don't include God in everything because everything's been really comfortable for you. Not much is happening. But you hear on the news that there's war coming. And Josiah says, indeed, there is war coming. There's going to be a war coming that is so destructive that it will destroy all of Israel, all of Judah, and destroy the temple. It is coming, people. It is coming. And it is devastating. Now, the people, they don't want to hear this stuff. They don't want to listen to the prophets. Jesus talks about what Israel did to the prophets. Do you remember what Jesus said Israel does to the prophets because they tell the truth? They kill them. People don't want to hear that destruction is coming. They don't want to hear this. But Josiah tells them that Babylon is coming and that Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple will be destroyed. What's interesting is that Zephaniah gives a little positive here, that the people of Israel might think that it's just them who's being destroyed. It's just them who Babylon is coming for, and it's not. Josiah, in his message, in his short message, tells them that it's not just Israel, it's all peoples. It's all, the whole known world is going to be disrupted. The whole known world is going to be flipped over. The whole known world is going to have some sort of destruction. And when Babylon comes, and they do come, and destroy Judah, destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, it is their policy to take people from the country that they have conquered and move them to other places, to homogenize, to bring power away from the country that they have destroyed and homogenize the people, to make them Babylonian rather than whatever country that they were from when they were destroyed. Now, Zephaniah gives some hope in this. He says, if you want to keep our faith strong, if you want, in the face of this destruction, if you want to keep your faith strong, you keep the synagogue, or in this case, the church strong, then you need to do something positive in order to hold this together. We find this in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land who practice his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Maybe you will be hidden on the day of the Lord's anger. Now, in Scripture, whenever we see something happen said three times, three is a very important number. It means take notice. It means pay attention to this. And the word seek is said three times here. Okay? So the destruction is coming. Zephaniah is telling the people that destruction is coming. In order to survive this, in order to make it through, you need to do three things. You need to seek the Lord. Duh. Right? We're talking about saving our faith. We're talking about holding on to God. Seek God in all things, in every aspect of your life. Seek the Lord. All you humble of the land who practice justice. Humble, our English language is difficult at times. If you talk to someone who's immigrated here, who's learning English, they find English hard because our words have many meanings. Humble or humility can sometimes mean someone who is powerless, someone who is a doormat, someone who has no power whatsoever. But this is not that definition. Humble also means someone who does things but does not seek glory for them, does not seek attention for doing them, does not seek the spotlight for doing those things. And that is what is meant here. All who do not seek fame and fortune, the spotlight, practice his justice. They seek righteousness. Now, you ready for the technical definition of righteousness? Being right before God. Doing right before God. That's what righteousness means. It means doing the right thing. Seek God. Do the right thing. And seek humility. Don't seek the limelight. Keep doing right. Seek God. Do what's right. And don't draw attention to yourself for doing it. If you do these three things, then after the destruction, God will bring Israel back together and there will be a faith. There will be a people. there will be a remnant that still love God. You know what? It must be true. Do you know why? You can respond. Because you're sitting here. This is our history. This is the history of our faith. It must be true because you're here. You know, what I find interesting is that in those days, the people didn't want to hear about war. They didn't want to hear about Babylon coming and overthrowing Assyria. And what would later happen is even more destruction because Egypt would rebel. And there would be a fight between Babylon and Egypt. And guess where that meets? Israel, right there. That's where it meets. And they are stomped and stomped on due to the fight right there. They didn't want to hear it. But we're different, aren't we? We're different. Because our news media outlets feed us all the time about war between Russia and Ukraine, about China, who wants so badly to take Taiwan, and who fights constantly with Japan, claiming some islands that are just in between, wanting, they would love to get their hands on Japan. Our news is full of violence. How many mass shootings this year so far? An unbelievable number. Death, destruction, and doom. And there's even some news outlets to talk about how there's certain groups of people who are trying to destroy Christianity. And it is news that feeds us, makes us addicted to it, so that we buy the products and the commercials in between. And they continue to feed us, and we feed off of that. In this unrelentless feeding on death, destruction, and what might possibly happen. They didn't want to hear about Babylon coming. We love it. We want more of it. We feed off of it. That anxiety, that fear. We talk about it, and then we buy the products and be on the commercials. Jesus talks about this. He says, you will hear, there will be wars, and you will hear rumors of wars. But don't worry, don't panic, as Brendan said last Sunday. Don't panic. Don't worry. These things are going to happen. These things will happen. Don't worry about it. Don't give in to the mass media feeding you constantly a diet of fear-mongering and worry. Zephaniah would add to that and say, you don't worry, don't panic, because if you seek the Lord, seek righteousness and seek humility, our faith will carry through. Even if everything is destroyed, even if everything is toppled over, those who believe continue to do these three things, God is there with us. He will be with us. And there will be a church. There will be a group of believers. There will be a future for those who believe, even though things are destroyed. Now, the rest of the books that we're going to cover are after the destruction, when people come back. The Babylonian Empire allow people to come back to the cities. So Israel comes back to Jerusalem to rebuild. But that's for another sermon. But they did those three things. They sought the Lord. They sought righteousness. They sought humility. And they survived the complete destruction of their country, their city, their temple, their homes. Now, for those of us who constantly live off this fear of war, this fear of possible, whatever it is the news is feeding us these days, the fear that we live in, Zephaniah gives us some hope. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Zephaniah says this, "On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, don't fear." In other words, on the day that Jerusalem is destroyed, "Don't fear, Zion. Don't let your hands fall." So when do we raise our hands? Well, we're good Germans, so we don't raise our hands in worship, but that's the idea, is we raise our hands in worship. "Don't let your hands fall from worship. The Lord your God is in your midst." I love this next part. I love this next part because in order for a city to be destroyed, a country, a building to be destroyed, there has to be an invading army, there has to be soldiers, there has to be people coming to destroy. And so Zephaniah describes God as a soldier, a warrior bringing victory. "He will create calm with his love." Say what? A soldier carries a weapon. Just a few weeks ago, I was leaving my house and just a few blocks down getting onto Rosser, and I couldn't get onto Rosser because the block was surrounded by sheriffs, by police, by SWAT holding very big guns at a house. This is by my home. This is by my home. That's not the kind of weapon that God carries. The kind of weapon that the victorious God carries is love. And when you are pierced by that weapon, you're filled with calm. That's quite an image, isn't it? That's quite an image. It is different from fearing about Ukraine. It is different than fearing about war. It is different than fearing about guns. It is different because the weapon of love pierces us. And in the midst of all of the chaos that is around us, God fills us with calm. And when we are filled with calm, when we are filled with his calm, we are seeking him, seeking righteousness, seeking humility, and filled with calm, he sings over us for joy. Ever had anybody sing over you? Yeah, me neither. But I could think of it as a concert. I've been to plenty of those where someone is singing and I am filled with joy by the words that are coming, by the music that is coming, and I can feel moved by the fact that God's love for you and me is so great and the joy that he has, that you are not afraid, that you're not giving in to fear, that you're giving in to him, righteousness, and humility, that he takes such great joy and pride in you that he starts to sing over you. Isn't that a beautiful image? Yay, poetry. Friends, this is how we're supposed to live. Not in fear. Not in fear of what the news is bringing us. Not in fear of a fear-mongering that happens. Not in fear of what this world could do to us. We are to live seeking him, doing what's right, and not seeking attention for doing what is right. If we do that, friends, we will be pierced by his love and filled with calm. So when the news does come on, we can say, "Jesus said that was going to happen," and not to worry about it. So I am not going to worry about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your calm and your peace. Help us to reach out to you in that instead of giving in to fear. Continue to bless this worship service, Lord God, as we lift our praises to you. We ask this in your name. Amen.